Hi, everybody, and welcome to We Gotta Talk. I'm so glad you're here. Okay, take a deep breath in and out. That is the sound of leaving the serious issues of the world behind just for the next 45 minutes while we focus on one topic that can unite us all. Celebrity gossip. My guest this week is Dumois, the founder of that namesake Instagram account, the host of the hit podcast Do You, the author of the best-selling book A Non-Please, which is now being optioned as the TV series from Max, and just all-around creator and curator of always accurate celebrity information. So Dumois is one of those accounts that I visit daily, pretty much. Love to tap through their stories, love seeing the blind items that come through, love seeing the interactions between Dumois and all of her followers. She's like a pretty tell it straight kind of person. And a lot of the information that you see come through this account ends up like having a lot of truth to it. So we're going to talk with Dumois all about how she got started in the world of celebrity gossip, celebrity journalism, why she has chosen to remain anonymous, and how she feels that that impacts her work. And of course, we get the latest on all sorts of celebrity headlines. And it is worth noting that Dumois is one of the few accounts that has ever prompted a response from Taylor Swift's PR team. You may have remembered the Tree Payne dust up that happened with Dumois and Taylor Swift's PR team a couple of months back. So we get Dumois' reaction to that and how that has settled over the past couple of months since it happened. And that's it. I hope you enjoy this episode. Dumois is a pleasure to talk to. You'll get all the information on, of course, where to find her and follow her at the end of the episode. So yeah, enjoy this episode of We Gotta Talk featuring Dumois. Okay, Dumois, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for sticking with me during the first 5 minutes when I wasn't recording. We were talking about this before I hit record for real. Your anonymity in this space, I feel like, is so admirable. Number one, it allows you to operate freely and without restrictions. I feel like social media is terrifying. And reporting amongst the fandoms that you do, it's just, I couldn't do it and not fear for my life. And number two, it just, it makes it about like what it should be, which is the information. As a journalist, I appreciate it. Can you tell me a little bit about, before we dive into all the celebrity gossip, a little bit of your backstory and why remaining anonymous is important to sort of the credibility and the health of this account?
Sure. So the account was started officially, I would say, in 2013, but it wasn't what it is today. So it started in 2013 as like a fashion and lifestyle account. And in around 2015 or 2014, it didn't last long. It just was abandoned, but it had a couple of thousands of followers. Like I think it had like 30 or 40,000 followers at the time. So during quarantine and during COVID, when everyone was ordered to stay home, I lived in New York City, so I was one of those people in an industry that, you know, they were like, go home, it'll be 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks turned into a month turned into 2 months, 2 months turned into 3 months, and, you know, everyone knows what happened after that. I was home in my apartment and, you know, kind of bored and didn't know what to do. So I picked up this account that had been started in 2013, and I posted to the Instagram stories if anyone has ever had an encounter or a story about a celebrity, it doesn't have to be recent, DM me and I'll post it. And that's literally how it started. And then through word of mouth, the account just grew.
Were you connected in any like meaningful way to the like professional way, I guess, to the industry, to the entertainment industry? Or was this, did you just know enough people in that first sort of base of followers that knew a person that knew a person that you started to get the tips?
I didn't know who the followers were at the time. So I had no idea. No. I mean, yeah. I could have went to my friends who I had known had encounters with celebrities and gotten their stories and reposted them if any of this was premeditated. Do you know what I mean? And I wanted to start it like that. I didn't. I just like, you know, I just answered the question. I just asked the question to whoever was following at the time, and whatever I got back is what I posted. But living in New York City and knowing that a lot of my followers probably lived in New York City as well, I figured that many of them had encountered celebrities over the years. So I didn't think it was such a far-fetched ask at the time. I knew I'd get something back. Let's put it that way.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I guess in New York, it always is sort of like the web can like weave pretty quickly through people, right? Like people, it's just a concentration of a lot of really connected people.
Exactly.
In one spot.
And it doesn't matter what industry you work in. Mm-hmm. I think that if you live in New York or in LA, you just happen to, you know, come across celebrities. I think that's just normal. Yeah.
Do you like reading about celebrities more or less after doing what you do? I just, you know, it's an industry that's like, to me, so dark, but also so entertaining and light and fun. It's like these two extremes. Do you just like cringe a little bit when you know the real story on a lot of these people?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell me more. Like, why are they, like, like not as who they present themselves? Like, what is it that's that disconnect?
It's not so much the celebrity. It's more the news media and the information that they decide to present, which is usually heavily guided by the hand of a celebrity's publicist. And that's what makes this account so different. I think that a lot of people are, let me rephrase that, a lot of, you know, not very smart people think that I work with a lot of publicists. I don't at all. Of course, I've had encounters with them. You know, this has been over 4 years now running this account. So of course, over the course of that time, I've encountered a celebrity's publicist in one way or the other.
Right.
But they're not the ones feeding me information.
No, because everybody knows you go to people.com for like the fake veneer, like 1/15th of the story. Like, I feel like don't people know that what you're getting there is either like totally whitewashed, totally diluted. Like, it's just,
I've heard you, to be honest. I think some people still don't know that.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are becoming aware of how things are run. I didn't know that before I started this account. I had no idea.
Like, explain a little bit of that relationship between some of the more legacy outlets. I'm not asking you to like talk shit because I don't want you to feel
professional. No, I love all the legacy outlets and I love everyone who works at every outlet except for Vanity Fair.
Why? Oh, give. Why? What happened?
I just think that they are sneaky and I don't like the way they operate. I don't like the way their reporters operate. And I think that they're kind of like, you know, they present themselves to be above board, but they're just as gossipy and trashy as a tabloid.
Listen, and from the consumer side, I don't even want it anymore. I don't even want the glossy face. I don't want the day in the life. That is BS. And like, it's not BS. I mean, it's interesting. They have great pictures, but like everybody knows it's not the real story. So I don't know. I guess there will always be an audience for that. But what's compelling to me about your site or about, I mean, I don't know. I've done the deep dive on all like AGC web pages every night. My husband's like, oh, you're on your blind items again. Like, I like the outlets that sort of lift the veil a little bit. And it seems like through the growth of your account and your popularity that most people like that version too.
Right. But a lot of people don't believe that version as well, you know, and it's not because they're reading People Magazine or Us Weekly, you know, it's because they like the darker side of it, which is the total opposite end of what we're talking about. And that's like the conspiracy theories. And I'm noticing the trend is moving more that way.
Right. Yeah. Some of those blinds are really dark. And I'm like, oh, is it so? Your opinion only, what percentage of those things that get submitted that are the blind items, the sort of anonymous things that no one will ever attach a name to officially, how much of those usually end up being correct based on knowledge that you have? And how much of them are just, like you said, wild conspiracy theorists that are just really looking for some crazy explanation on something?
Well, I can only speak to the blind items I receive. I don't know about, you know, the other websites that publish blind items. I can't speak to how true they are because only they know, you know, their sources and but I get a lot of BS.
Do you really? Because,
yeah, of course. A lot of anonymously submitted emails are BS. That's why they're anonymously submitted. If someone's not going to tell me the truth and attach their name to, you know, or someone's not going to make up a crazy lie and attach their name to it. Sorry. Someone's going to want to prove, if they're telling me something that's true, they're going to want to prove what they're saying, right?
So how do you vet it then? Like, how do you know? Because there are some things that come through, I'm sure, that seem out there, but end up being true. So like, is it just an internal radar thing that pings, or do you have other ways to verify what you're getting?
No, I mean, I don't, you know, if I post an anonymous email or a blind item, I say very clearly, like, use your discernment. Mm-hmm. This could totally be BS.
I laugh every time you have to post on your stories. Like, these are not vetted. This doesn't mean, like, people really want to go in hard on this stuff. And you're like, guys, listen, with a little, you know, siren emoji.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They still are like, why are you posting these lies? Or you believe this, or you wrote this. And I say to them time after time, that is not what I'm telling you guys. Like, you're just not understanding. Now, the things I say on the podcast or the things that we write on our website or in our newsletter, that's a totally different side of it.
Right.
That information is much, much more reliable.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't just post anonymous emails. That's also like a misconception. Mm-hmm. Just if I post something or if I post a DM, you know, I'll post it anonymously to protect the source, but the source is not anonymous to me. The emails are completely anonymous. Like, you know, those, I, you know, someone could be just, you know, and they often do just like make things up out of thin air.
How did you decide to report on the Kate Middleton stuff? Which, I mean, obviously it turned out to be
A good source. Yeah. I believed what they were saying. So that's I felt really confident talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. Remind me of what you were reporting when, because everybody came out of the woodwork with their theories. And a lot of people, like, you know, had accounts blowing up at the time because they were putting out this wild stuff. Like, what were you like work back from the timeline and just like, were you getting this source like right at the beginning who was telling you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, someone literally reached out and was like, by the way, if this Kate Middleton stuff comes up for you, X, Y, and Z is true.
What did they say was true? Can you?
Well, that she had surgery.
Right.
It was basically what the news media was reporting without the details. Mm-hmm. Because they said abdominal surgery.
Right. I remember you saying like, oh, maybe it was just you saying maybe a colitis or like you were saying you were more cautious with your.
Well, I was theorizing. More specific, but at the same time, I was just repeating what they were saying. Like, those organs are located in your abdominal area. She had abdominal surgery, and the crown or whatever they're referred to, the firm didn't want to be specific because British people, and this is what my source told me, you know, are very uptight. They didn't want to be like, she has shitting problems. You know what I mean? They didn't want to say that.
So, toilet. Yeah.
Right. So, they said abdominal surgery, and that's what was true. And then, as far as, you know, the paparazzi pictures and the videos that were being released at the time and people saying it wasn't her, though, it was 100% her. I mean, I went to the photo agencies, I asked them, you know, and it was 100% her. So I was not feeding into any of the conspiracy bullshit. And I felt like I was confident enough to speak about what I was hearing because I knew my sources were really good.
Yeah, you remained really measured in your approach. I appreciated that because, like, as it turns out, there was some really serious shit going on. So.
Right, which I didn't know until an hour before she addressed everyone on television. So basically what happened was there was a press release that was sent out saying, not to me, to reporters and the media, and it leaked. So everyone was sending it to me. So before she went on television and told people she had cancer, I knew like an hour or two before because that press release leaked.
Yeah. Oh, so sad. Wishing her like nothing. It is. It's just like, and it's a real reminder. Like, and I come from a traditional media world where you didn't go anywhere unless it was like verified and verified again. Like, so I'm like super, super careful in general, just because I was like conditioned to be that. But it was a real sort of point in the column for the type of reporting that you do, which is like, you don't come out and say, I know it until you know it, because some real life stuff could be happening. And that was like, oh, I remember that came out and I was like, holy moly.
Well, so, I hope everyone who was making the horrible conspiracy theories about her felt like shit, because she was obviously suffering more than we knew.
Yeah, absolutely. We sent her healing vibes and prayers. Okay, we have to talk about the tree pain thing. Do if you want to just shut me up, if you just say, Sunny, I'm done, because I know you've faced a lot of ire from the Taylor fandom, but you are the only person, dude, who's ever provoked a reaction from her entire camp. And I don't mean provoke in like a negative way, but I guess called in or made something happen. It was all about some knowledge that you had that you stand by when it comes to Taylor and Joe Allen. Can you like bring my listeners up to speed on like, by the way, I believe this, but what you always said, and why they came, why her team came after you in a very public way?
I mean, I can't answer why they came after me in a public way, but I could just recap what happened. So basically, over the years, people would always ask in a Q&A, like, is Taylor married? Is Taylor and Joe married? And I had heard yes. So at first, like, I would answer that question, like, yeah, like, that's what people are telling me, yes. But as time went on, I received more specific information as to what that meant. And no, they were not legally married. They allegedly, and I had reported this and cleared it up once I found this out, that they allegedly had some kind of ceremony in London, not London, sorry, in England, wherever they were staying in their cottage during quarantine or during COVID. And the ceremony winded up being non-legal. So were they referring to themselves as married? People were telling me yes. Were they legally married? I later found out no. And I had said all that.
Right.
And I don't know why that provoked a reaction. I guess that pissed her off. And she wanted to clear up the fact that none of that was true.
How did your life look after your name was plastered, your professional name was plastered in the headlines like that? Were you just like, oh, thank God I'm anonymous? Like, I was worried for your mental health as a follower.
It's mental health definitely suffers, but it was just frustrating because I know I'm not a liar.
Right. Right.
And there were specific reasons, and I can't really get into it at this time, why I was going so hard about this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't intuition. It wasn't an anonymous source. It wasn't, you know, because I was making stuff up out of thin air. There was a specific reason why I said what I said. I'll just say that.
Right.
And I'm not a liar. I don't lie about things that I see with my own eyes.
I believe you. Listen, team two, you don't have to explain yourself to me. I do think, like I said, the manner in which you report, like removing yourself from it, tends to lend more credulity and like credibility to it. Cause you're not, it's not like you're doing this so that your personal face blows up anywhere. And like, look at me, I'm getting attention from this. So
no, I don't want any personal attention.
Who are the most, well, no, but you keep working because your professional stuff is basic. Who are the craziest fandoms and like groups of fans, whether it be across music or acting, or craziest meaning like most intense?
Oh, the Swifties, for sure.
For sure.
They like blow everyone out of the water. Yeah. I would have had a different answer probably like 2 years ago, but for whatever reason, that fan base just grew and grew and grew and intensified and intensified. And they're kind of like split up though. And I know this because I've had so many people write me, like there's the OG Swifties. Like that's what they refer to themselves as. And then there's this new breed of Swifties, and they're the ones who are incorrigible in my opinion.
Love that word. Yep. Can't teach them anything. Yes. Yes.
So maybe they're just younger. I don't know. But there's definitely a part of the fan base that is rational, kind, respectful, and you could have a conversation with. There's definitely that part of the fan base, but they're not the loudest part.
Right.
They're the ones who will DM me separately.
Right. And with a thoughtful kind of
reaction. And with a thoughtful and nice response. Even if they don't agree with what I'm saying. So there's definitely that part of the fan base that still exists. You just don't hear from them publicly.
it was, I'm sure you saw the headlines about the album review that went out last week where the reporter removed their name from the byline because they were, last time they posted, not even a negative review, but something that wasn't overwhelmingly positive. The author got, the writer got death threats.
Yeah, did you see that? Like, that's ridiculous. I've gotten death threats.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when that happens? I mean, what? That's scary.
I mean, I sent it to my lawyer and I was like, you know, what should we do about this? Or it was an anonymous death threat. So I'm sure I could trace the IP, but okay. I don't know. I just didn't do anything. I ignored
it. Do you ever feel just like throwing your hands up and being like, kids, like, enough? I mean, for what should be a relatively light topic, it's like too much of,
oh yeah, I mean, I've popped off on my Instagram before. I haven't done it in a while, but back when I first started, I'm sure the OGs remember, like, I would pop off all the time, like, you guys got to chill out, like, it's not that serious, like, you're fucking crazy. Yeah, I would pop off all the time. I mean, I have no problem talking back to the haters, and you know, they'll gaslight you. If they make a negative comment and you respond with that same energy, you know, I'll get, well, you're such a bitch. Like, everyone hates you. Like, oh, yeah. And it's like, you started it, you crazy people. Like, you know, so I have no problem responding to people with the same energy that they bring. And I think that anyone who has a platform should not be afraid to do the same.
Yeah, it becomes a matter of mental health at some point. And like, you're right. Like, sometimes you can hold it in and ignore it. And sometimes it's necessary to just react like a human would react and have some sort of reaction to what's being, it gets very heavy.
I don't know how celebrities do it, to be honest. Like, I know Selena Gomez, and when people, you know, when Selena Gomez goes off on her, you know, commenting streaks, people be like, wow, what's wrong, girl? Like, is Selena Gomez okay? Or like, what's going on with Selena Gomez? And it's like, she's fine. She's at a breaking point and she's telling you guys to shut the fuck up. Like, she's normal, actually, that she's, you know, responding to this nonsense. It's just most celebrities don't. And I don't know how they do it unless they just go off social media and don't look at any of it.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Well, what is the most surprising thing that you've learned, personal thing, like you've learned whether about a celebrity, whether it be, you know, they're much nicer than you thought, or I don't know, like, is there anything that's come across your desk that you're like, oh, this actually really humanizes this person in a positive way?
Yeah, like, so many things. I think I became fans of celebrities that I wasn't fans of before based on messages I would get about the celebrity. Anne Hathaway is like a perfect example of that. Like, I really did not like her. I watched some of her movies. Obviously, I've seen Devil Wears Prada a million times, but she irritated me. And as a person, now I love her.
What did you hear about her that made you love her?
Just, you know, well, first of all, there were a lot of, we used to call her on the account Annie cries a lot, because there were a lot of encounters or just people running into her and she'd be crying, like, on, like, the street, or in a restaurant. She's just a very, like, emotional person, I guess. And I don't know, it just humanized her, like what you said, you know. And I don't know, I just, like, I started, you know, having this endearment towards her, and maybe she's a little quirky, and maybe, you know, like, I like that about her now.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever get any good intel on the Brad and Angelina divorce? I know that one was, like, cloaked in a lot of, like, legal secrecy, but they were very tactical about, like, what came out to the press and what didn't. I wonder if you ever had any, like, interesting intel beyond what the headlines were reporting.
I mean, I heard about what happened on the airplane. But right. Then I think it's since been released, because I think Angelina detailed what happened.
And that's what you heard too.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I heard about it before I think it was released. I think she, I don't remember the exact timeline, but I remember hearing about it. And then I remember seeing articles about it, like, maybe like a year afterwards. But, no, I mean, I hear, you know, little bits and pieces here and there, but I don't talk about that specifically because there are so many kids, you know, they have so many kids.
Right. What about people whose, like, you opinions that you said who have changed for the better. Is there anyone that you think, I mean, you don't have to get too call outy. This feels like a little mean girl, but here we are. I'm going to ask it. Blame me. Is there someone who's like public facing persona is much nicer than what you've heard that they are in private? Is there like someone who's fleecing us?
Oh, yes. Like who seems, you mean who people love who.
Right. Who seems super nice, super girl next door, super guy next door, super chill, funny.
That's Paul, like a, Paul Rudd.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I can't think of specifics, but
like unsaid blowups kind of vibes. Like,
No. Not that. Okay. No, not that. Just maybe not like the guy you think he is. Also, right. The other guy, the other funny guy, Adam Scott.
Oh yeah. He's on so many shows, TV shows. Yeah.
Him is more of a working thing. I've heard people say that it's been horrible working with him. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal, obviously.
What? Just like overly precious about the work of it all? Like what
no,
is
just
it?
Jake Gyllenhaal in general.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think I knew. I mean, listen, I was a huge Jake Gyllenhaal fan growing up. I was like, you know, he was like a heartthrob. I didn't know anything about him personally. So I think just like him in general, but I think that's like more of a well-known thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who else. I don't know why those three like stand out, because I was surprised.
And you do make a point, which I love, on your account to post like the nice blind item, or like the things like the nice kind, I forget what you call them, but like when people are, when celebrities do things for people or spend that extra time taking a photo or are kind, I mean, you go out of your way to call out good behavior a lot, which I love, because, you know, can't all be bad press.
No, some. Exactly. And, you know, a lot of the times people will send in a negative interaction with the celebrity, and then someone will send in a positive one, and I'll post both, and I'll be like, you guys decide, you know, for yourself, like what you think about this celebrity.
Yeah. I know you were back and forth on the Ryan Reynolds thing, and that was a full of like how someone
That's a great example too. There are people that have had not so great, you know, experiences with him. And then there are people that say he's amazing. So nobody is going to be 100% amazing, right? Like there's people are human. There's rarely a person or a celebrity where someone I don't hear anything negative about. Like maybe Keanu Reeves is someone that like you rarely, if ever, in my experience, have heard one negative thing about Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Conan O'Brien, you know, like it's like it's very rare. It's always two sides because people are human.
Yeah. I need to know more about Ferris. This is like a behind the scenes question. You guys have such a good vibe. I know you have a history together. Is it so nice to have like a co-host, like someone to, I don't know, there's like a good rapport, someone who can kind of catch you when you're like having a moment. You guys just have such a good rapport.
That's who actually was at the door.
Oh, really?
She's coming and we're gearing up to do a little merch drop. So she has to do some stuff for that. But she had a whole nother life and job. Like I forced her to quit her job and start working with me because I was sick of doing this alone. It becomes very, very insular and very lonely to deal with this stuff on a daily basis. So she literally quit her job and started working with me last summer. She didn't know about any of this stuff. Like she was just, you know, a very casual consumer of celebrity gossip. It is not something that has ever ruled her life. So she jumped into it and, you know, I mean, she's learning along the way. I mean, there's a lot she doesn't know about celebrities.
Is a good counterpoint to you.
Right. I mean, I think on the podcast, like it frustrated some people in the beginning and people were like, you know, why do you need a co-host? And
God, and people have so many opinions.
I just didn't want to do it by myself anymore.
No, it's
it
hard.
Boring.
A solo episode doesn't excite me like it does to sit down with someone, especially if you're recording in person. The energy you feel, like, I don't know. People just like really have thoughts about everything, which.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you can't please everyone. And, you know, sometimes people's opinions, you know, don't bother me. And then every once in a while, I'm like, what? You know, like, that's just a shitty thing to say. Like, somebody messaged me once and said that they thought Ferris had a low IQ.
Oh, my God. What? Why? What? Yeah.
I don't know. They just, I guess maybe it was one episode that she wasn't, like, contributing a lot to the conversation. Because, you know, like, I deal with a lot of the content. She does a lot of the other stuff behind the scenes. So obviously I know more about her. I read everything that comes through. So I told her, and she got, like, really pissed. So she, like, took an IQ test online. And then we, like, wrote back the person with her score, which was obviously very high because she's highly intellectual. And they were like, I'm so sorry. That was, like, such a mean thing for me to say. And I was like, yeah, it was a really mean thing for you to say.
They apologized, the person?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They apologized.
See, that's when it's worth coming back a little bit to someone. You just feel like people talk and they don't know that there's a human on the other
exactly.
end.
Exactly. I mean, she was like, what? Like, why would they say that? I'm taking an IQ test. And I was like, come on, you don't have to do that. She's like, no. She started to, like, doubt herself.
Oh, my God. I love it. You guys do have such a good rapport. And I know what a grind it is. So I feel like whatever you have is working. Keep it going. And you're growing. You have the website now. You've always done these awesome merch drops. Big fan of the, like, Child du Mois, like the Italian one.
Oh, my God. Collection. I loved that one. Yeah, that was White Lotus inspired.
So good. I wore it on my Italy trip last year. And I was an Italian shirt. I was like, it's like not technically, but like it's American. So you're growing, though. I mean, tell us about you have the book, Anon Please, which was, it did amazing. You said it's being optioned for a movie, too. Is that right?
Yeah. So it was purchased by Warner Brothers to be turned into a 1-hour drama series on HBO Max.
Okay, so this is what I feel like we have to know who you are at some point. I'm so curious now. Like, you're the story.
Well, I mean, the book is fiction, so it's a fictionalized version of myself, I would say. But yeah, so that's exciting. Wow. We just launched the website to, like, make our content more editorialized, which I prefer. I know some people, like, you know, we try to make it fun still. Like, we're still posting the DMs, but we're just, you know, we're putting everything on one place that's not Instagram. You don't build a business on someone else's platform. So that's why we had to start the website.
Yep. You got to own your own site and own your own domain and do it that way.
Right. And all the content should live on both. So, you know, that's really why we started the website. There's an app coming out hopefully on Monday. It's basically a catalog of, like, the last 3 years of Sunday Spotted. So it's a restaurant app. It'll show you, like, all the restaurants where celebrities have been spotted. And it lists all the celebrities that our readers have seen at each restaurant.
So you'll have someone, like, constantly updating who's where, all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Someone literally went back. They went backwards and cataloged every single Sunday spotted sighting.
Were you a big like Perez Hilton fan? Like, yeah, like all, because I don't know how old you are. I'm about to be 43 in September, so I feel like I came of age when, like, all of the celebrity blogs were starting. One time I left delisted.com up.
Yeah, I love delisted. Yeah,
love delisted. And I didn't realize, like, I was anchoring the news and I went on set at noon. And you know how they had those banner ads? And one was this woman with her boobs bouncing, like, naked. And I was like, they were so trashy back in the day, all the ads. And I got in, like, serious trouble. They're like, what are you looking at work? I was like, it's a celebrity gossip site.
No, yeah, delisted was great. It was written really, really funny. It was funny.
So funny. What happened? Do you know these people in your space?
No, I mean, I've had Perez on my podcast. I've had the guy who runs Crazy Days and Nights on my podcast a bunch of times, who actually there's an article that just came out today. He revealed himself.
Wait, dude, breaking news. Who is it?
Well, I'll let you guys read the article. It has his name and his picture and it's a whole thing. Yeah.
Googling, but go ahead.
Yeah, so they've been on my podcast. Yeah, for sure. I used to read all those websites back in the day. And then I think, like, in the mid to late – well, we're not in the late 2000s. The mid-2000s, like, around 2013, 14, 15, 16, I stopped. Like, I was just not really into celebrity culture at all.
Right.
So there's a huge chunk, there's a huge chunk of things that happened during that time that I really wasn't paying attention to. So now when that old stuff comes up, I'm like, wait, I didn't know that happened. Or my readers will remind me of something. And I'll be like, I totally don't remember that happening. It's because I think in my personal life, I just like wasn't as interested I had been.
Michael Kay was such a good writer on D-List. Like, I would laugh out loud. It was just.
Yeah. I don't know like why they stop or like why Ted Casablanca like retired. I don't know.
It seems like an intense industry based on what you're saying though. I mean, there's
it is,
a lot,
but you make it into a business. It's like, you got to keep going. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I will say like, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's such a, you know, this industry is just all lighthearted. Like, it's like not meaningful. There's like more serious stuff. And I'm like, no, this is like a whole industry. Like people are, a lot of real deal stuff comes out of this space. So the topics may be lighthearted or it's like, oh yeah, it's celebrity stuff, but I mean, you're proof that there's an intense interest in this that's just like never going to go away. So you might as well, if that's your talent and that's your lane, like lean in.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard to navigate. I don't think it's easy. I think that there are a lot of creators on TikTok specifically who work in the celebrity space who aren't able to probably monetize as well as they could. So I think it's a tricky thing and you have to find a balance because you, if you want to turn this into something that's like a career, you have to be, you know, business friendly, but also be salacious at the same time. And that's not easy.
It's not.
That's the hardest part.
One more question about business before we do a quick like celebrity gossip, like lightning round. What advice would you have then? Because clearly this is something that there was some luck, there was some divine timing involved for you, but also you're a smart woman because you were able to very quickly parlay this into a lot of really interesting sort of arms of your business. So what advice would you have for someone in the creator space, whether entertainment is their vertical or something else, on how to get people to like come to you, stay with you, stick with you through all your various projects and all of that?
Like what advice I would give someone who wants to do,
not entertainment per se, but anything in the creator space, where like you build a business essentially off of them. Like you are the brand, even though you're anonymous. Like, well, what would your advice be?
Right. I try not to be the brand. I try to have the brand stand on its own. And I think
it does with the name.
That's my biggest piece of advice is like, unless you want to be an influencer, traditional influencer, like stay behind the scenes and don't make it about yourself. And that's the number one reason why I don't really say my name or talk a lot about myself personally. I mean, of course I do interviews like this and I'm happy to answer any questions, but for the most part, you know, my content is not personal.
Right. And do you see a world where you come out from behind the veil?
Not really. No.
Yeah.
I have really no reason to. I think also like don't listen to the naysayers. Like if you believe in something and you have good instincts, just keep moving forward and try to block out the noise, which is hard at times. And I think that you know, if you have a lot of self-confidence, that helps. I think that the social media space isn't for people who have tons of insecurities, because then you just get inside your own head, right? And that could really fuck with everything.
Yeah. And when the fans start coming for you, it's that much
exactly. You just have to like block out the noise and keep your eye on the prize, so to speak, whatever that prize is, like whatever your goal is.
I love that.
I didn't really have any goals in the beginning. I just was going with the flow and it just happened to work out. And maybe that was an advantage that I didn't put pressure on myself to accomplish X, Y, or Z. I think that helped.
I love it. Well, you're doing it now. I'm very Very proud of you. I don't know you, but I'm very proud of you. Okay, very quick lightning round. I forgot to put this question up early enough, but I had some really interesting questions specific to certain celebrities that people want quick answers on. So you don't have to like spend too much time. But the first one was about Kim and Taylor, if the feud really is real, especially with Thank You, Amy, one of her songs coming out and people think it's about Kim and yada, yada. I personally feel like this should have been dead and gone a while ago. What are you hearing behind the scenes? Is this like a real deal feud between them?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, why isn't it dying too? Can you answer that? Like what? It's well, 5 years, right?
Because Taylor keeps bringing it up. I mean, she brought it up in Time Magazine and she sung this song. That, you know, people are speculating is about Kim. I don't think she ever really confirms who her songs are about.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is kind of like a blind item, really. I mean, talk about blind items. She's like the queen of them, right? She could, you know, talk shit and not have to say who it's about. So, yes. And I heard that, you know, Kim is not really giving it much attention. And she just wants to move on from something that happened a long time ago during a period in her life that I don't think people realize was also difficult for Kim. And what I'm referring to is her marriage to Kanye. I think there's a lot that went on behind the scenes that she had to deal with that was very difficult for her. So I'm not saying that's an excuse, but I'm just saying, you know, she wants to move on from that whole time period.
Oh, I'm sure. Right. Any update on Kanye's mental well-being and health, yay, as he wants to be now referred to as?
I think it's still the same, to be honest. And I mean, we could see him out and about with his new wife. I don't understand how she's able to dress like that. I don't like to judge people's style. It just seems really uncomfortable. I mean, she looks beautiful, but
she looks gorgeous. She's got a banging little body, but wearing all plastic doesn't float my boat. Personally,
no, it doesn't.
She looks amazing.
It doesn't seem comfortable, and also the barefoot situation doesn't seem like it would be too comfortable as well. I did hear that they're looking into starting a family, so they seem like they're pretty serious.
They do. Yeah, we wish them well. She's gorgeous, so. Best of luck to her. Okay. People also want to know about Kyle and Mauricio. Like, what's the status, if it's officially ending, and what you know about her and her new friend?
Well, I don't really speak on people's sexuality unless they speak on it themselves. So, of course, I've heard million and one different rumors. But, you know, I just don't feel comfortable speaking on them. I think it's over. Between her and Mo.
Yeah, that's sad. Okay, the other one people wanted to know was Timmy and Kylie, what the status of that is. I'm not a huge follower of them, so like I don't even know what to ask beyond that specific question, what they put in. So I'm sure you have more info.
Yeah, I think that right now, currently, and I haven't gotten any confirmation of this or even a tip. This is just what I'm piecing together basing on where they are geographically. I think they're just like in a cool off period because he's off filming Dylan, the Bob Dylan movie, and she's been on the West Coast. So they haven't, as far as I know, and people track her plane. So if her plane were to go to New York, you know, I'm sure someone would tell me. They haven't, you know, physically been in the same place, I think, in weeks.
It's wild how people track the airplanes. Actually, one of the kids who tracks, it's like a UCF student. It's in Orlando, like where I am. And he was he tracks Elon Musk's plane, Taylor.
Oh, I think he got in trouble.
He did get in trouble, but technically I think he's protected under federal law doing that. Right. I think he was called out. I don't know. I have to look that
up. He got a cease and desist from Taylor and he continued to post. I think he stopped posting her, but then I heard his account got taken down anyway. Oh. So maybe it was just report. His account could have just been reported enough times where it got taken down. But
that's wild. Well, that's it for lightning round. I have a list of other ones, but I feel like I could go on and on and on. But, thank you for spending time with me today. I've always wanted to know more about the woman behind the podcast and brand. So I'm sure everybody's familiar with where to find you, but if you could just briefly let us know about the new website, what that is, and just anything else interesting that you want us to keep tabs on.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways that you could receive our content. We're on TikTok and Instagram at Demois, DeuxMoi. Our website is demois.world. And my podcast is Do You, DeuxU. And I would say like that's where most of the good info is on the podcast, because we're able to talk things out, you know, instead of just like posting a DM.
Right.
With no context. So
a little nuance to it. Really quickly, where did the name come from? And then I promise I'll let you go.
It's just a made up French word.
Okay.
That, yeah.
I like when you were on one episode trying to say it in French because people were calling you out for pronouncing it.
Oh my God.
Right. Like, I know.
I know. It's Demois, but people say do. Like people that don't speak French, they just say do, and then they start calling me do, and it just became a thing. So I know it's not right.
Again, all those explanations.
Oh God.
All the time. All right, dude, thank you for spending time with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. It was great meeting you. Thank you so much.
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of We Gotta Talk. You can find Demois's book, Anon Please, linked in show notes. Grateful to Do for her time today and to you for listening. If you haven't done so, I would really appreciate you leaving a rating and review. You can do that on both Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And that's it. We'll see you next week here on We Gotta Talk with more good stuff. Thanks for listening.